Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Lots to talk about tonight. Lots to talk about in the coming days. Obviously, we've got, you know, a few Colts in the Pro Bowl right now, but right now all the rage, folks, is on the Senior Bowl, and everybody's trying to pay attention to what's going on. This is always a good, it's always a good group and cluster for what the Colts are wanting to bring in. It seems like they've been pretty active in bringing in guys that have been to the Senior Bowl. Unfortunately, you know, quarterback this year seems to be one of the priorities, at least among the fan base. But there are a lot of other positions that the Colts are going to be needing to look at. And one of the busiest guys down at the Super or the Senior Bowl this week was our own Chris Shepherd. And Chris is on the line with me. Chris, what's up, brother?
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Good, man. Anxious to hear, as well as I'm sure our audience is, everything that you've been seeing down there. Now, I listened to, and if you guys haven't listened to out there, the Stampede Radio episodes with Chris on there, make sure you guys go back and listen to those. Those are good information, too. We're going to steer a little clear of what he's already talked about on there, at least what I think that he's talked about, unless I missed something. But, Chris, honestly, I want to know who your biggest riser was from, and give me one on both sides of the ball, if you would. I want to know who your biggest riser was from the beginning of the practice week to the end of the practice week.
Sure. So for me, the biggest riser, and really it's just because of where he started, is Ben Bartsch. Ben Bartsch is he's an offensive lineman. I'm not sure if he's going to play tackle or guard at the next level. He looked pretty good at tackle, but I do think he's a little limited athletically. So he may kick inside the guard. He may have some more success there, but really he's the biggest riser because coming into the week, he was a Division III prospect. Mm. And so obviously there are huge questions about, you know, how a guy is going to hold up when, you know, he's never faced anyone who's going to be in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So really just the fact that before this week, Ben Bartsch was completely unknown. An NFL team may have never thought to even go see Ben Bartsch or watch Ben Bartsch film. And he comes into the Senior Bowl, and not only does he show that he belongs, but he excelled. He looked like one of the better tackles. I'm not going to go really far and say that he was the best tackle. He wasn't, but he was a good tackle. He looked good at guard the few reps that I saw him get there. And then, you know, really he was the biggest riser for me on the offensive side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, so there's a defensive lineman out of NC State named Laurel Murchison. I hadn't heard anything about this kid, and to be fair, I haven't watched a whole lot of tape yet, but I hadn't heard anything about him. Really, you know, coming out of NC State, didn't know what to expect. The guy showed a really good burst off the line, and, you know, he used his hands pretty well. And really, whether it was using a bull rush or, you know, ripping through or swimming through, he was getting constant pressure. He was a guy that I thought really made a big impression, is going to rise up boards for what he did. I mean, you know, everybody wants to talk about Javon Kinlaw and Neville Gallimore, and both those guys had great, Kinlaw had one really great day before he ended up getting hurt, but and Gallimore had a great week. Those guys, I don't think that they rose as much as what, you know, what Bartsch and Murchison were able to do. So both those guys had great weeks, and I think they made themselves some money.
Nice. So you and Zach were kind of divvying up duties down there this week. Did you get to watch the quarterbacks at all? Because obviously, like I said at the beginning of the show, that's what everybody really is interested in right now, because it's just the position. It's just, you know, people, I think, for the majority of the part, you know, so there's a large clan that are like, you know, give Brissett another year. But there's a vast majority, I think, of Colts fans right now that just want to see somebody drafted at a minimum to bring in and mm-hmm. to be developed underneath Coach Frank Reich.
Sure. Yeah, so I did. I had a chance to watch the quarterbacks. And, you know, so before, when I was watching drills and things like that, I didn't move down and watch the offensive line closely at that point. I was just kind of just kind of a spectator because, you know, watching drills, you can kind of see how guys are moving in the drills, but I can pick up a lot of that too when I'm just watching them, you know, when they're doing their one-on-ones or when they're doing, you know, their teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wasn't really that concerned. So I did watch some of the quarterbacks in drills, and then in 11-on-11s, you know, I can sit there and try to watch the left guard, but when, you know, Jordan Love or Justin Herbert are throwing the ball, well, you know, your eyes tend to drift. So I did watch plenty of quarterback play, and I came away really impressed with, with the play on the field. I think Justin Herbert was far and away, well, I'm not going to say far and away, but he was the best quarterback there.
And just as an aside, he's kind of been one of those guys, Herbert in particular, that a lot of Colts fans have had their eyes on. But at the same time, he's one of those guys that, you know, a lot of people, I think, look at him and think he's got a ton of potential, but he just not can. I guess what we're talking about is number 13 overall pick. Is he number 13 overall pick worthy? I think is what a lot of Colts fans want to know.
So I think from a pure talent standpoint, he is. The question that a lot of people have, and really in the, you know, in the scouting media world, the rumors about him have had to do more with, you know, the mental aspect of, well, being mentally tough,
mm-hmm.
and being able to lead, whether or not he had the personality to be that kind of a guy in the NFL. And, you know, that's something that it's tough for us to see and it's tough for us to know. I talked to Frank Reich, and the very first thing he mentioned, I asked him what traits he was looking for from the quarterback position. And the very first thing he said was mental toughness. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that was a shot at, you know, at Justin Herbert. But at the same time, you know, we've heard those rumors about Herbert. And then the very first thing Reich says is that he needs a guy to be mentally tough.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm trying to put some things together here. It's not right. Like it's a direct line, but I don't know that Herbert is going to be the guy that's in play for the Colts, even if they deem him, you know, talent wise to be, you know, to be a good fit for the 13th pick.
Right. And that's possible that it was just simply a reactionary response from Reich. I mean, it's one of the things that he's lauded Brissett for, being mentally tough all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like there's games where he can't throw a lick on the field, but hell, he's mentally tough. So we love, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't necessarily think it was a shot at Herbert personally, but at the same time, you know, it's definitely one of the things that they're looking at, and the Colts are pretty thorough with their scouting room and their scouting department. Mm-hmm. When you look at Dodds and Ballard and all their scouts, Morocco Brown, all those guys, they want a certain kind of person in there, especially at the quarterback position. And naturally, when you're the face of the franchise, or you're being brought in to potentially become the face of the franchise, you better have a smooth head on your shoulders, or you're really kind of useless back there, because you're ultimately a front runner if you're not mentally tough at a quarterback position.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's been Herbert's biggest question mark so far is, well, you know, so that's what the rumors are saying, that, you know, you don't really know what you're going to get from him in that way. And just from a pure talent standpoint, just watching him, you know, watching what he can do, even just dropping back and, you know, letting the ball fly. He's got everything physical you could want in a prospect. Justin Herbert has. It's just going to come down to answering all those other questions.
Who is another quarterback to you that we may not have, we may not be as versed on that caught your eye?
So Anthony Gordon from Washington State, so he's got a couple of major flaws to his game. The things that Anthony Gordon did really well, he throws with great, great anticipation, great timing. He can throw with, well, I think the only way he can throw is with touch. That's one of his problems. But, you know, he can read a defense. He understands passing concepts. He seems like a really smart quarterback, because he can identify things going on and he can make quick decisions. So Anthony Gordon looks great until you ask him to throw the ball about 20 yards down the field. The guy's got a noodle for an arm. So, you know, if to get that guy in the weight room, I don't know how much he can improve his arm strength at this point, but if he can, you know, it would be good for a team to take a late round flyer on the guy, not unlike Gardner Minshew, who, you know, the Jags took a late round flyer on this last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's as good as Minshew, but he comes from Washington State. It's the same mold. There were the same knocks on Minshew last year that Gordon has this year. The big difference between those two guys is their size. Gordon weighed in at 199 pounds, and you can look around the league and, you can't count the number of successful 199 pound quarterbacks on one hand because there aren't too many.
Right.
So, you know, he's undersized, but if he can put on weight, and so that's one thing too. Actually, I talked to Anthony Gordon also. I recorded an interview with him, but I got a couple interviews that trumped my Anthony Gordon interview, so I'm pushing that one to the back burner. I'll, you know, try to release that one later on in this process because, well, you know, I interviewed Bill Polian and Frank Reich, so
those take precedent.
who's going to want to read anything about Anthony Gordon? But you know, he talked about wanting to put on weight and do some of those sort of things. So he's a guy that I could see having a nice career, you know, being really kind of a career backup who might start for a couple of seasons and have, you know, some middling, you know, moderate success. But, you know, he's the only guy that I think maybe Colts fans haven't discussed a lot that I think has a chance to be drafted and be good. The other guy that, you know, I think a lot of people have heard of him, but Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson doesn't belong at the Senior Bowl. I don't know why he's there. I tweeted out that Shea Patterson was the most inspiring player at the Senior Bowl because, you know, if he can start at quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines, everyone reading my tweet could too. so, you know, I don't know why he's there, but he.
Not a first-round talent, then.
No, I would be. I would honestly be surprised if Shea Patterson was drafted.
Yeah, I would too, personally. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more at a couple other positions with Chris Shepherd right after this. All right, welcome back, folks. All right, Chris, let's talk about a couple other positions. Chris Ballard has notoriously said, and most specifically at his end-of-season press conference, talking about how the three-tech runs that defense. Tell me about a couple guys that stand out to you that were at Senior Bowl this week. And ultimately, we're pre-Senior Bowl game right now. So who should they be looking at going into this contest?
Sure. So, you know, obviously everybody's going to want to talk about Javon Kinlaw. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of Colts fans talk about Kinlaw at the 13th overall pick. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If Javon Kinlaw is available at the 13th overall pick, it's because several teams have made a mistake.
Right.
He shouldn't be there. If he is there, and, you know, it's tough because if your quarterback, if you believe that there's a quarterback that can lead your team to the promised land, you take him. You take him no matter who's on the board. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe that, I don't care who else is on the board. If Javon Kinlaw is available at 13, the Colts better run his name to the podium and announce it as quick as they can because Kinlaw should be the pick.
Right.
Other than him, like I said, Neville Gallimore from Oklahoma, he looked great. So he did line up at one tech a little bit, but he, you know, he just couldn't hold up. He didn't have the strength at the point of attack. He did hold up decently well, but he's a three tech. Just that first initial step, he's so quick off the line. He made a lot of guys look really silly because he was just able to use his burst and get through there. One guy that maybe people haven't heard as much about is Jason Strobridge. Strobridge looked good from day one all the way through day three. He's a defensive lineman from North Carolina. He's a little bit undersized. He's 6'5", 285 pounds. So depending on where teams view him, really 3-4 teams could view him on the outside. 3-4 teams could, you know, view him as a defensive end. I don't think he's a defensive end in a 4-3, but, you know, there might be some team that does. I think that probably his best fit would be at three tech, and he's a guy that you could pick up, you know, in the middle rounds, that he's going to give you a lot as far as burst. A lot of the same things that Gallimore gives you, he's just not as complete of a player as Gallimore. So, you know, Strowbridge has some room to grow. He's not a finished prospect by any means, but he's a name to keep an eye on. And if you're watching the Senior Bowl, wearing number 55, got a North Carolina helmet, I predict that you're going to see him flash getting off the line in the middle of the line there at the three tech position and making some plays.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot up front for the Colts that's left undetermined right now. I think I can kind of speak freely here and say that I think the Colts, maybe they add, you know, a new name in terms of a linebacker for next year, but I can't really see them drafting one in terms of saying, you know, top three, four rounds, this is a guy we need in this lineup with what they've currently got. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just, you know, that's just my assumption. But looking at secondary, we know they need some help there. What about at the cornerback and safety positions? Was there anybody that stands out to you that could be, you know, I mean, I can't see them using that 34th overall pick or their own second round pick, or honestly, I just don't see them using something that high on them. So who's a guy that we could possibly see maybe potentially late second round, depending on how Ballard throws his picks around, any trades that could possibly come up for the Colts to get them in the back of the second round or in their early third round or in their mid third round pick?
Sure. So I don't know if he's going to be there. You know, I don't know enough about the DBs that are coming out that were underclassmen. But if you want to talk about the guy who was probably the best cornerback in Mobile all week, Troy Pride Jr. From Notre Dame. He played great. He looked really good. You know, he showed some great ball skills. And really, he had so everybody's going to have a few bad reps, and everybody has a bad rep every now and then. He had a few, but really, even when he was losing a rep, he didn't lose it in, you know, a really horrible way, and there was no just any massive breakdown or massive failure. Mm-hmm. So Troy Pride Jr. is a name to watch. He's a guy that could really come up a lot.
He was fun to watch during the season, too.
Yeah, yeah. So other guys at the corner position, Dane Jackson from Pittsburgh, Kendall, I think it's Vildor, he's from Georgia Southern. He was a guy that I didn't know anything about, being from Georgia Southern. So he had a good week, so he's somebody to keep an eye on. If you're talking about safeties, Jeremy Chinn looked huge out there, and he had a good week. And then Kyle Duggar from, I believe it's Lenoir Ryan. Duggar had a good week also. So those are just some guys on the back end to watch out for, guys that, you know, maybe people have or haven't heard of before. But really, they were good all week in practice, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do when the lights come on.
Yeah, it'll be fun watching those guys. I think secondary guys are a lot of fun to watch in games such as the Senior Bowl, because you actually get to see them breaking on passes on some of at least the top quarterbacks, you know, although we're not seeing, you know, necessarily the top quarterback in many people's eyes at the Senior Bowl. But there's a lot of guys there that are going to get drafted, and this will be fun to watch the secondary guys work through that. Last position I'm going to hit you up on is obviously Colts fans. I can't presume that the Colts themselves aren't looking heavily at wide receiver as well. But give me a couple names that had a buzz about them and look good to you out there catching and running.
Sure. So the first guy is Denzel Mims. Mims made a couple of plays that were so it kind of took a lot to get a reaction from the crowd at Mobile, and Denzel Mims had a couple of those this week. He would go up in 11-on-11 work, high point the ball, and just make great catches. Mims, so the thing that nobody reacted to on the sidelines like that about Mims, but the thing that impressed me most was how much effort he put into blocking. And
that's so a big, big thing for the Colts offense.
It is. Yeah. And so when after practice, you know, I went down on the field, and I didn't ask Mims any questions, but I just kind of wanted to sit back and listen to, you know, to other people ask him questions and see how, you know, what answers he gave. And somebody asked him about blocking, and he kind of lit up, and he's like, man, I love blocking. You know, I take a lot of pride in that. And so, I, you know, I I don't get a lot of chances to punish corners, and you know, it's the one chance that I, you know, I really get to hit him. And you know, just seeing the way that he reacted to a question about blocking, you know, he takes that very seriously. So Denzel Mims is a guy that I like a lot. He's a bigger body guy out of Baylor. So I was actually at the K-State Baylor game this year, and he had a pretty good day then. I noticed him then. And, you know, at the time I didn't know if he was even draft eligible, didn't know anything about the guy, but he was impressive then. He was impressive all week in Mobile. Wouldn't hate having him in Indy. Mm-hmm. Another guy, KJ Hill. So if Ballard drafts KJ Hill, we can just go ahead and presume that he's going to draft an Ohio State guy every single year. but he, you know, he was really good all week. You know, he's a good route runner, and it showed in Mobile. You know, he's a guy that's got great hands, can really give you everything that you need him to do. That's another thing I talked to Reich about too, specifically from the receiver position. You know, Reich said that there were a lot of ways to be productive as a receiver, and that they weren't necessarily looking for, you know, a big guy or a small guy. They wanted somebody who, you know, could go out, fill a role, catch some passes, and win in whatever way that they won. And, you know, they would know the guy when they did the research and found the guy. So, you know, whether it's a guy like KJ Hill that's, you know, not as big as a Denzel Mims, or, you know, vice versa, you know, there are going to be some good options in this game for the Colts if they are looking for a receiver. One thing I will say is I followed Morocco Brown around just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Morocco Brown was taking a lot of notes on the tight ends, specifically Bryson Hopkins, the tight end from Purdue. I saw Hopkins block a guy into the dirt, and Morocco started scribbling notes furiously. So, you know, I don't know, that may not necessarily mean anything, but it might.
I think it's definitely a position the Colts have to look at, whether through free agency or in the draft this year, one way or another. This offseason, they've got to get some help at tight end, in my opinion. I just don't think Jack Doyle's, maybe it was just because it was a down year, but I just don't think Jack Doyle has a lot of left in his tank, to be perfectly honest with you. And they really don't have that number two key guy that they really need in this offense. So I think tight end, you know, Austin Hooper's available from what I understand in free agency. That would be a fun gather. And then maybe find a guy in the draft, you know, in whichever round they're available. So that would be a fun acquisition as well, and a necessary one.
Yeah.
So, Chris, I'm going to get you out on this one last question. You talked to Hall of Fame GM Bill Polian. You spoke to Frank Reich. Man, who was your favorite interview of the week?
So, before I talked to Bill Polian, I didn't get starstruck at all. Even talking to Frank Reich, like I still felt more comfortable when I was talking to Reich. But when I started talking to Bill Polian, like I had to prepare myself after he agreed to the interview, because you know, I waited for him to kind of walk away from what he was doing. I didn't want to be a guy that stepped in and interrupted and, you know, kind of put a damper on his night. So I waited for him to be free. And I walked up and I said, "Mr. Polian," I said, "did you have time to answer a couple questions?" And when he said, "Yeah, that, you know, that'd be fine." Then my heart started beating because, like, oh shoot, this is real. It's happening. And, you know, I kind of had to take a minute to compose myself, and, you know, That was pretty cool. It was kind of surreal to be sitting there and talking to him. You know, it was really neat. But my favorite interaction was from Frank Reich. And I talked about this a little bit on, you know, Stampede Radio podcast, but I'll cover it again. After I talked to Frank Reich, after I interviewed him, you know, I just assumed that it was, you know, our interaction was over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was 5 or 10 minutes later, I'm on the other side of the field. I'm texting one of my friends about the fact that I just talked to Frank Reich. And, you know, somebody walks up and, you know, out of the corner of my eye, I see it's Frank Reich, and he's coming over to talk to me. And we stand there and we talk, and, you know, he's asking me questions about me and about Stampede Blue. And, you know, he he didn't really understand the concept of SB Nation, and he was asking questions about that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, he took time out to come talk to me to learn more about me when he didn't have to do that. And it was such a cool interaction. You know, he said that he appreciated the type of work that we do because it helps make the NFL more popular. And popularity is ultimately what keeps him employed. And mm-hmm. It was such a cool interaction. It was a genuinely kind act that he just didn't have to do. And I don't think most guys would have. So it was really cool. It was something that I'll never forget. And at the end of it, I don't know that I talked about this last night, but at the end of it, he said, "Hey, if there's anything you ever need, just send me an email." And I said, "Oh, great. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that." He walked away, and about 5 seconds after he walked away, I went, "Oh, I don't have his email address. How am I going to email him?"
That is a genuinely cool experience, man. I mean, and to have a guy like Frank Reich, not only that comes off to be that very kind of guy, but that actually gives you some, you know, some confirmation that this guy is exactly how he seems in his press conferences, you know, and exactly how he seems. He's just that kind of a guy. And that's really a cool thing to have that kind of confirmation. I thought my favorite part of your Polian interview was the very last thing you said to him when you thanked him for all of the great sports memories from your childhood. I thought that was the perfect way to end that interaction, to be perfectly honest with you. And as soon as I finished listening to it, I thought, man, what an excellent thing to end the interview with. I mean, because, you know, that, you know, as much as, you know, maybe you may have been whatever, quote unquote, starstruck or whatever, that's something that guys like Bill Polian still gives them butterflies when people say that about the job they did. Everybody wants to talk about how they kicked some ass playing football in high school. That gives nobodies like us, you know, some confirmation of coolness, so to speak. Right. And I don't mean this in a legitimate type of way, but even guys like that who have succeeded so much in the NFL, to have somebody they've never talked to before say something like that had to have been a really cool moment for him too, I think.
Yeah. So when I was wrapping it up, I was like, you know, I'm going to thank him because, like, honestly, it was a huge part of my formative years were the teams that he built. And so I wanted to thank him for that. I, you know, probably not going to have another chance to talk to Bill Polian.
right.
And so when I thanked him for it, he lit up, and, you know, he was genuinely happy. He had the biggest smile on his face, and that was really cool. It was really cool to have kind of that moment. And, you know, he smiled really big and he said, "Hey, my pleasure." And it was pretty cool. It was cool to get that opportunity to thank him, and then to see how happy he was that I had thanked him for that.
Yeah,
that was really neat.
I can imagine. You could almost feel it. Like I was smiling listening to you say that, and I thought, man, that had to have made even Bill Polian feel good. So that was very cool, folks. If you guys have or haven't caught Chris and Zach's work there. Down there from the Senior Bowl, make sure you guys are going and checking that out. Check out Stampede Radio. He did some work with them as well. Chris, great work, man, this week. Excellent job. I'm glad you got to take that experience down in Mobile. And I'm going to get you out of here, brother. So make sure you get yourself some rest. And excellent work this week, bro.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you guys all for listening. We're going to get you guys out of here in under 30 minutes, and the first time ever, I think, on this show. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.